When in your life have you had to say this?
They call me help. They call me Stacey. They call me her. They call me Jane. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me
You will all know that it's nearly a daily occurrence, people getting my name wrong. Thanks, Mum. Thanks, Dad. But today I don't want to hear stories of mispronouncing names. I want to hear the hilarious, the embarrassing, the downright brain fade moments when you call someone by the wrong name. Share your stories with me. 1300 33 1233. You can text me as well. 0487 99 1233. I'm thinking calling your teacher mum, calling your colleague your partner's name, parents using the name of your ex for your current partner, running through 12 names, including the dog, before you land on the right one. It happens to all of us. So share with me those stories. 1300 33 1233. Tell me the time you or someone you know called someone the complete wrong name. Because it happens. But why? Why do we, when we're looking at our kids, our siblings, our friends, think of everyone else's name except the right one? Fiona Comfort is a clinical neuropsychologist at the University of Sydney. She's here to talk about names and memories this morning. Fiona, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you done this? Is there a moment that jumps to mind that you're like, oh, that was bad?
Oh, we have all done this. Absolutely. I think this is something that everybody can relate to. And it's actually something that shows that our brain's working the way it's meant to be rather than something going wrong.
Right. So it's not that we don't love them, our kids, in that particular situation. This is just how our brains work.
Absolutely. Because we can all relate to this, there's actually been quite a few studies looking at what is actually happening. You know, why are we doing this? Why do we call people the wrong names? And one of the interesting things that we've found is that it's not random. So some of the examples you've been talking about there where you might mix up your kids' names or you might mix up your colleagues' names, it seems like it's not a random name that our brain pops up with. It's the name that's somehow related to the name we're trying to come up with.
Right, so there's some sort of link that our brains are making.
Absolutely. So there's two sort of types of mistakes that the brain seems to be making. The first mistake is where the name's semantically related, and what we mean by that is there's some sort of connection. So it might be someone like all the siblings in the family or colleagues or people in the football team. So there's something to do with how those names are related. And the other mistake that the brain seems to make is if the names sound similar. So we say that they're phonetically related. So, for example, you might mix up Stan and Dan or names that start with S, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And so you might see that your brain has a bit of a pattern with that?
Absolutely. So, yeah, what we see is that people typically mix up family members' names, for example, or names that sound the same, and it's because of the way that the brain's organised. So what happens when we're trying to think of a word in the brain is that other words that are somehow connected are also light up. And the reason that the brain does this is to make life a bit easier for us. So it's sort of trying to preempt what other things you might need to talk about in this conversation.
Got it. So it's like, right, you're having this conversation now and it's just throwing all this data at you being like, you might need this, you might need that, you might need that one.
Exactly. So it's going to activate all of those names that are potentially related or relevant to the conversation that you're having. Unfortunately, what that means is sometimes instead of getting the right name, we slightly miss and we get one that's related but not the one we're looking for.
To be fair, though, like it does a pretty good job at remembering things for us. Our brain is pretty spectacular when it comes to memory.
Yeah, so if you think about actually being able to name someone, it's a much more complicated process than you would expect. So the left side of the brain is responsible for the actual names, and that's where our language is located. But the right side of the brain is where we actually recognise faces. So in order for you to recognise someone and name them correctly, you actually need information from both the right hemisphere of the brain and the left hemisphere of the brain, and that information needs to be connected together and produced really, really rapidly. So our brain is actually being able to recognise faces and link them with names in milliseconds, and it actually seems effortless, but it's actually quite a hard task.
Are some people better at recalling and remembering names than others?
So So there's certainly a spectrum within the normal population. You know, people who, I think particularly people like politicians, people who, you know, use this in their job all the time, they become real experts at being able to recognise people and remember their names. And they tend to have these sort of more socially driven occupations, for example. In the rest of the population, I think what we see is that what's particularly important when you're learning someone's name and when you're trying to remember someone's name is actually paying attention to the in the first place. So, for example, if you're at a dinner party and you're meeting lots of people for the first time, often people might be distracted. They'll be thinking about, oh, what are we going to have for dinner, or this is a nice place, and you don't actually pay attention when you're being introduced to people. Mm. And so then it's not surprising that your brain doesn't learn and remember that information and enable you to recall it later. So actually doing very simple things like just trying to pay attention when you're meeting someone for the first time and actually think, okay, this is their name, this is what they look like, and try and make a link can help us to remember names better in the future.
And that's where people have those little tricks that they might use. They might repeat the name back or then try to use it in the next sentence, or they associate it with it. They play that word game almost like Phil sounds like dill. I like dill on fish. And then that's how they remember.
Yeah, definitely. So there's definitely tricks that you can use to help your brain when you're trying to learn new names and when you're meeting new people for the first time.
It's 17 minutes past 10. We are talking forgetting names, the times that you have gotten a name completely wrong. I'd love to hear your stories this morning, 1300 33 12 33, or do what Colin's done and send me a text, 0487 99 12 33. Colin says, I've often called my 8-year-old son Bolt instead of Sam. Bolt is the dog. Yeah, we've all been there, Colin. And Fee says, I have 3 sons and habitually call any of them by your universal Marty Morg. So just like mashed up the names there so that you can never quite get it wrong. Keep your stories coming through, 1300 33 12 33. Fiona, in having these conversations in a fun, lighthearted way like this, what do we actually learn about our brain and our memory when it comes to this? And maybe that helps us down the track, say, as we're aging.
So it's really important to understand how the brain is working in healthy people, but also trying to understand what happens when things go wrong with our brain. So a lot of my work's been looking at this type of dementia syndrome called semantic dementia. And it's quite a rare dementia syndrome, but what happens in semantic dementia is people gradually lose their vocabulary. So they gradually forget what things are called and they can't understand language in the same way. You know, not to make people worried about getting people's names wrong, because that's certainly very normal. But in this very rare dementia syndrome, what we see is this gradual loss of language. And we've done a lot of studies to try and understand, you know, what actually is going on and what types of words they're forgetting. And what we see in people with semantic dementia is that as they're losing language, they tend to, for example, call animals sort of very similar animal names, but not quite right. So instead of calling something a zebra, they might call it a horse. And ultimately, they might even call it a dog. Mm. And so you can see that there's this sort of gradual disintegration of how they understand language.
Yeah, it starts with that grouping and they know it's an animal, but it's that sort of erosion of the specifics almost.
Yeah, so they tend to be much better with words that you use very frequently, so things like dogs and cats, and they tend to lose more infrequent words earlier, so things like a gorilla or a lion. And so you can see that that tells you something about how the brain is organised, and that those frequent words that we use all the time are really well cemented in there and they're quite hard to forget, whereas these more infrequent words seem to be affected first. And the other thing that it shows is it really demonstrates that, as I was saying with names, that when your brain is active and you're trying to think of a word, it activates these semantically related names, so ones that mean the similar thing, or phonetically related names or words, so words that sound the same.
As you said, though, this is quite normal. It's not a sign to be concerned. Does it change as we do age, though, even if we don't find ourselves with a dementia diagnosis?
So that's a really interesting study and a really interesting question. And there was a study done by a group at Duke University. They actually studied 1,700 people across all different age ranges. And that's really what they were trying to understand was, you know, is it more common as you get older? Is this sort of something going wrong with, your brain might be not as good at remembering names as it used to be. But when they surveyed across all these different age ranges, this huge number of people, they found that it doesn't actually change with age. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. It seems to affect all of us in the same way, and it seems to be a very normal thing that happens.
There you go. In that moment of embarrassment, you can take some knowledge in knowing that everyone is going to do this at some point in their life.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Fiona, great to chat with you about this. Thanks for giving us a bit of insight. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. It was great to talk to you.
That's Fiona Comfort there. She's a clinical neuropsychologist at the University of Sydney.